A house is made of wood and stone, but only love can make a home. Welcome to the Repco Light Home Improvement Show, helping you make your home into one you'll love even more. Here are your hosts, Dan Hansen and Betsy Thompson.
Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning, Betsy.
Good morning, Dan.
Welcome to the frigid Arctic.
Yeah, I see you made it through the polar vortex.
Yeah, the polar vortex threw me for a loop.
It threw everybody for a loop. There were days when we were actually colder here than it was in Antarctica.
Yeah.
I was tracking that.
That's fun. That's kind of fun. The kids had a whole week off from school.
Yeah. That is crazy.
They're kind of rubbing my nose in that every morning. Oh, we get to stay home, Dad.
Yeah.
And you think that they snowblowed?
Of course not.
They did one day when I really crabbed. Then they did.
So you guilted them into it.
I did. But let's get to today because I've got a couple of things that are kind of on my mind.
Okay.
First off, at the end of the show, we're going to be talking to Derek Anderson from Amber Valley Construction about aging at home, staying at home, and just making our homes work for us as we get older.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's going to be really interesting.
And I would like to point out, you don't have to be old to be tuned into this segment.
Right, that's one of the points that I believe is going to come out.
Yeah.
Derek's a great speaker. He's got a great story. You're going to want to be here for that.
Right.
But before we get to that, I am concerned because, I started the show with welcome to the polar vortex or whatever, the Arctic, but it's warming up now.
Yeah, it's supposed to be like Monday, 47, almost 50 degrees and rain.
Right. And that makes me concerned about roofs.
Yeah.
With all the weight up there. So we're going to call right now Matt Williams from Sheriff Goslin. Listen, it's ringing already. Oh, it's like a long ring. I hope that's not the sign of things to come.
Hello.
Hello.
Is this Matt?
Hi. Yes, it is.
Hey, Matt, I thought you were a woman for a second.
is offensive, I think.
I don't mean
Matt, I'd like to apologize for my co-host.
It's the audio quality. It was a little bit of a problem.
Fair enough.
And I thought, oh, no, I misdialed. We're going to have an interesting conversation. Hey, Matt, how are you doing?
Good. How are you guys?
We're doing all right.
We're a little concerned.
Yeah. So we're concerned about roofs. With all of the thawing that we've got going on. And so we thought,
in the rain,
let's get in touch with our roofing expert, Matt Williams from Sheriff Goslin Roofing, and we'll ask you some questions.
Okay.
And I guess my biggest question right off the bat is I'm concerned about the weight on my roof. You know, I've got a lot of snow where it drifted. So I've had some areas where it's 2 to 3 foot deep.
Holy smokes.
Yes.
And with all the rain coming, potentially, and the thawing, is that an issue? Do I have to worry about that? And should all our listeners be concerned?
Well, in the last snowstorms that we've had, we've heard of roofs that have caved in. So with that said, it is a definite potential. But, you know, the snow and the roofs in Michigan, we've kind of changed codes, so layers on shingles wouldn't be as heavy. So you can only go up to 2 layers now. So the construction that we've had in Michigan, you know, should be able to hold up for all the snow weight that we have. But snow is not necessarily the only problem we're looking at.
Okay. Oh, great. There's another problem. Ice? Is that what you said?
So what ice does is if you have poor insulation or poor ventilation in your home, it will melt the snow off of your roof and the snow won't stay nice and fluffy. And that will create ice dams at certain points in your roof that get not as much heat. So in your overhangs, if there's any weird additions that are not heated, those areas will start to form ice dams.
Okay.
And what most people don't realize about an ice dam, even if it's 5 degrees outside, you stand on top of an ice dam, you're standing in ankle deep water.
Okay. And that water can work its way back up into my house through the shingles or under the shingles.
Yeah. And shingles aren't waterproof. They're a water shedder.
Mm-hmm.
So back in 2001, the state of Michigan decided that we needed an ice and water shield. So it's a waterproofing barrier that's required by code, and that goes 2 foot past the interior wall. And the kind of thought behind that is, no matter how big the ice dam gets, it should be able to prevent it from coming in people's homes.
Okay, so what do folks do right now? You know, today, it's early. What do they need to be looking for, and are there some things we can do to kind of keep our homes from having some of this water problem?
Yeah, you know, if in the perfect storm for someone that might have a problem, they'd have something that was installed for their roofing before 2001, they would be starting to have ice dams develop towards the bottom of their roof. Now, because they don't have that protection, what you want to do is you want to just break the dam.
Okay.
And now, you don't want to take it all the way down to the shingles or any of that. All you have to do is put a crack in it.
Okay.
And that crack will allow the water to drain out, and it won't come in your home.
Okay, so I don't have to get up there with a pickaxe and take it down.
And, you know, you don't necessarily, you know, just enough to crack it, you know. And, you know, sometimes landscapers or roofers are more than happy to help out with some of that type of work.
Is there a certain spot in that ice dam where we should be cracking it, like at the top or near the bottom? Or
towards the top, because you don't want to, like I said, we're not trying to damage anything. We're not trying to fight Mother Nature. We're just trying to help her out and get the water out of there. So, you know, water's going to rise up, and then what we're trying to do is just get it to spill over the top rather than spill over into your home.
Okay. So what am I chipping at it with? I mean, can I take a hammer up there? I know that's problematic.
It is. And, you know, when I go out and do something, I use my hammer because that's what I'm comfortable using. But how you got to treat it is like it was a golf club. So you're not swinging down at the roof. You're swinging parallel with the roof.
Okay.
Oh, that's a good point.
And so if you go through it, which you might, you will be hitting nothing. It'll be air, and you should be swinging away from yourself so you don't hurt yourself. But you also, like I said, don't swing down towards your home because you will damage the roof.
That's a very good point. What about people who have a metal roof, potentially? And not shingles.
Well, metal roofs, during a warm-up like this, it's good to just consider, do I have those ice blockers? Because as it warms up, all of that snow is going to slide off very quickly.
Okay.
Now, what about throwing salt up there or something like that to melt?
Or pellets. My dad said they sell
pellets.
Well,
there are roof pellets.
Melt
I guess it. I'm thinking about just regular
salt.
So, I
had a engineer tell me that, right, because they were running out of the ice pucks. So this engineer told me, take out nylons, tie them into little knots, stuff them with salt, and throw those up on your roof.
Oh,
okay.
That's a good
idea. That's all right, too?
Yeah.
All right.
The same idea is you're going to create a concentrated area of salt that is going to break that ice dam and create channels for water to flow.
All right. Matt, that's all the time we've got. I really appreciate the help because I got a feeling there are going to be people dealing with this weekend. Matt, if anybody's got questions for you, how's the best way for them to get in touch?
Reach out to me at our office number, 616-392-3373, or go to our website, sheriffgoslinmuskegon.com.
All right. Matt Williams from Sheriff Goslin Roofing, thanks so much for letting me call you today.
Absolutely. All right. Thanks for having me on.
No problem. Take care, Matt.
Yep. Bye.
Now, after the break, we're going to be in the studio with Derek Anderson from Amber Valley Construction, and he's going to tell us all how we can age in place no matter how young we are. Stay tuned.
Helping you turn your house into your dream home. This is the Repco Light Home Improvement Show, presented by Benjamin Moore on News Radio Wood 1300 and 106.9 FM.
Well, welcome back. I'm Dan Hansen.
And I'm Betsy Thompson. And I am very excited about this segment because we are interviewing a gentleman who we actually saw at the New Home and Remodeling Show
in Grand Rapids.
We heard part of his presentation, and, well, I heard part, and then you heard part.
And we both decided this was really good information.
Yeah,
we just didn't realize how good it might be.
Exactly.
Now, that's a lot of pressure. But we're in the studio with Derek Anderson, owner and fall survivor, right?
Ta-da.
I should have said fall survivor.
And owner
of Amber Valley Construction.
Yeah,
right?
Whenever I go around town, I make sure to wear the Fall Survivor name tag. It gets me all
Do you get a badge
that
says that?
A gold star, actually.
Ooh.
See, people are confused. They have no idea. He made it through autumn? Is that what we're talking about?
Right.
No. Derek's story is very
unique.
Yeah, Fall Survivor. And I guess let's just start with that. Well, before we get to that, why don't you tell us, Derek, just a little bit about Amber Valley Construction?
Yeah, so we're a general remodeling company, general contractor here in the Grand Rapids area, so we help people improve their homes inside and out. Our goal is to help homeowners love their homes, and that can take many different forms depending on what their specific needs are. So inside, outside, upside, downside, structural repairs, you know, kitchen remodeling, stuff like that. But I can come in and do a really nice kitchen remodel for a homeowner or something like that, and we enjoy that process. We love producing happy customers, but mm-hmm. I really enjoy the times where we get to use some of the things that I've been through personally to be able to really help people that have real physical, legitimate needs in their homes.
So when you're talking about the things that you've been through, why don't you start by telling us that story? Because that's going to get us into all of these other things that you do.
It was 2008. I had just finished a semester of grad school. I was heading out to Utah for the summer. I was going to be working with some construction and helping out a family out there, and mm-hmm. So it was just kind of paying my way through grad school. I was working during the summer and stuff like that. So on the way out there, I stopped in Colorado. I had a friend from college who was living in Denver at the time, and so we decided to go mountain climbing that day. We had actually done the exact same thing the year prior. I'd done the same mm-hmm. trip out to Utah the year before, and so we were going to go do the same thing. It was called the 4th of July Trail. It was west of Boulder in the Rocky Mountain National Park. So,
do you do a lot of climbing?
I had done a couple 14ers and some scrambling. Nothing like Tom Cruise, you know.
I've climbed at, I think it's, I forget which sporting goods store, but they have a climbing thing I have done.
Which is
I got
epic.
A little bit up, and then
I was
going to
say
down.
It's epic because you're afraid of heights.
I am. So anyway, you must not be.
Not as much, no. Yeah, so we're heading out there. So there was, the snowpack was a little bit heavier than it was the year before, so we weren't able to get to the trail. So we're like, hey, let's just get out here. We'll start climbing up the side of a hill. That looks like fun, right? So mm-hmm. instead of wasting the day, the trip, so we just decided to kind of just hang out over there. So we started climbing. We got up really close to the top of where we were, basically the big hill. Mm-hmm. I mean, big hills out there are like mountains here, right? So mm-hmm. I grabbed a rock and it came loose and I fell backwards. I started tumbling down the side of the mountain. I couldn't stop myself.
What are you thinking as you're going? Are you even thinking?
So the only thing I remember like thinking is like trying to grab things, right? I felt like a limp doll, essentially. Just like I really had no control over things because I was moving so fast and, you know, bouncing, essentially hitting things on the way down. And then I came to a stop. I landed. I didn't know. My vision was blurred. I knew I was in a lot of pain. I didn't know what was up at that mm-hmm. point. I landed like face up, and so I'm just laying there and really couldn't move. I mm-hmm. had no, I just, yeah, it hurt.
Oh my goodness. So your friend
is terrifying.
Watching all of this happen?
Yeah, so he's freaking out. He makes his way down to me. It took him about 5 minutes or so to make his way down
he
to me.
He came down the conventional way?
Yeah.
The appropriate way.
Yeah. I came down the express.
The fast way.
The express
You wanted to be first, and you were.
So, yeah. So he gets down to me. I had fallen about 150 feet
Whew.
Down the side of the mountain. Now, it wasn't like a sheer cliff straight drop down, but tumbling about 150 feet.
Oh, my gosh.
And hitting every rock on the way down.
Yeah. So, and then he proceeded to try to help stabilize me where I was at, right? So I would be like, I need you to take my left foot and move it to the right. And he'd grab my right foot and move it to the left.
Oh, he's like me.
Yes.
I'm not good with left and right.
Yeah. Right.
Especially if I'm stressed.
A ton of stress at that point, right? So here we are, no cell phone signal. We're stuck there on the side of the mountain. I had landed on the edge of a 30-foot cliff. And so we had no choice for him to leave me and go down and try to
so
get help.
So if you hadn't hit that spot, you'd have been...
Had I rolled another couple feet, I would have fallen another considerable distance, and who knows what would have happened.
Yeah, what the outcome then.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, spoiler alert, he survived,
right?
Just want to let everybody know.
Clearly.
Wow, so you're laying there after falling 150-some feet. We're in the studio with Derek Anderson mm-hmm. from Amber Valley Construction, the owner of Amber Valley Construction and Fall Survivor. And he's telling us about his story. Just tumbled down 150 feet, laying on your back. Your friend comes and helps you and moves the wrong feet the wrong direction because he's stressed out. What happens from here?
Yeah, so he goes down. In kind providence, there was a 911 call box not far from where we were at. So he used that. It took the rescue team about 45 minutes to get back up to me. And then they proceeded to stabilize me, gave me an IV. Blue kangaroo was the thing that they wanted me to remember. So they wanted to make sure I wasn't fading in and out of consciousness to see if I had any sort of concussion symptoms or anything like that. So in order to make sure I stayed there cognitively, blue kangaroo. You know, what's our phrase, Derek? Blue kangaroo. So while that team, there was a couple different teams. One was stabilizing me, making sure that, you know, I was there physically and mentally and all that kind of stuff. The other team went up above us and attached some ropes into the rock, and they took this basket-like thing where they lifted me up, set it in it, sucked the air out, and it kind of wrapped itself around me. Still super painful, right? We didn't know the extent of my injuries at that time, and they proceeded to rappel me down the side of the mountain where they loaded me in an ambulance and then drove me about a mile, was the closest they could get a helicopter, and then they airlifted me to Denver from there. So,
oh my gosh.
So they airlift you to Denver. How many broken
sounds like a
bones
song
were there? A John Denver song.
Oh yeah.
So I had broken my right clavicle, okay, which is in my shoulder, and torn my rotator.
He said that for me because I just looked at confusion, and I literally thought, I can't ask where that is. I'll look like an idiot.
Which
you picked up on that away.
I did. So that's shoulder, okay, right? So and tore my rotator cuff in the same shoulder. I broke my left radius, which is one of your forearm bones, and then dislocated my left elbow.
Ouch.
I broke my knee in my left knee and tore my medial collateral ligament, which is on the inside edge of the inside of the knee there. I shattered both my ankles, so the talus bone is in your feet there, so I shattered both of them. So my left one I broke into 12 pieces, and then the right one I broke into 6 pieces. So I was for several months non-weight bearing on all 4 appendages. I literally could not move myself. So getting a snack or taking myself to the bathroom, all of those were non-starters for me. I was literally stuck in bed. I could operate a hospital bed, which somebody had kindly donated to us. But we moved it into our house.
In your home. Okay.
So after I got out of the hospital, it was 5 weeks there in Denver, flew back here to the Grand Rapids area, and basically had to move back in with my parents at that point. Someone had donated the hospital bed, and I could use that by how hospital beds, like the knees come up and the back comes up. I could use that to reposition myself a little bit. But other than that, like I was pretty much stuck where I was at. And because I was non-weight-bearing on all 4 appendages, like I said, there was going to the bathroom, getting something to eat, any one number of those things. Like I was completely dependent at that time.
And that really gets us to where we wanted to go with the rest of this conversation, because that experience propelled you, at least to some extent, has to have, into what you do now.
Sure. So, for example, I can get around and I can function fairly normally today, and most people can't even tell by looking at me that I've had these injuries now. I've recovered fairly well. I have bones fused in both my ankles, and I have a little bit of a limp, and I have some limited range of motion on my knee, my elbow, things like that. But I can get around fairly normally now. But I know that the needs that I had then, as far as dependence and needing some extra functionality in the home, are going to be an increasing part of my future, right? So I already have arthritis in my foot. I already have knee pain from time to time. And so those kinds of things are going to be an increasing part of who I am as I age and as my body and abilities deteriorate over time. So yeah, the fact that I have been through that has given me a different perspective on people and aging in place, universal design, those kinds of things, so that I can help people out. And here's what happens. As we age, our needs change, but our homes don't automatically change to meet our needs. So there's a need for remodelers to be able to come in and adapt homes to be able to meet people's needs long term. So we want houses to be able to adapt with you as your needs change.
And that's what we're going to get to in the next half, if you can hang with us over the break.
Definitely.
It's a little bit longer than a normal one because there's a little more commercials here.
Yeah.
You can wait through that.
We can wait.
Awesome. So we'll be back in the studio with Derek Anderson in just a minute. Stay tuned.
If you want to take your DIY skills up a rung, the RepcoLite Home Improvement Show is here to give you a boost. On News Radio Wood 1300 and 106.9 FM.
And we're back.
We are.
In the studio with fall survivor and owner of Amber Valley Construction, Derek Anderson. Derek, thanks for hanging with us over the break.
Glad to do it.
For anyone who's just tuning in, when Dan says fall survivor, he literally means
like a
falling,
real fall.
Like from 150 feet down a mountain to a rocky ledge with both ankles shattered and broken clavicle, which Dan has to look up in the dictionary.
No, he told me where it is now.
After
and
the big question mark showed
clavicle
up on your face.
Yeah.
So he's been airlifted and he spent how many months laying in a hospital bed? Not in the hospital, but at home in a hospital bed.
Yeah, so 5 weeks in the initial stint out there in Denver. And then back home. The lowest point for me physically was in August, so my fall was in May. Mm-hmm. August, I could barely lift my leg off the hospital bed because of muscle atrophy. I was non-weight-bearing on all four appendages, so there was a lot of degradation that had gone on with me physically and over that course of time. So it really took me 2.5 years from my accident in May of 2008 before I was back to somewhat functioning physically again.
That is incredible, because that's a long road back to getting to who you were, I guess you would say. But are you really the same after that? You said you have arthritis and things like that.
Certainly hurtful. Thanks a lot, Betsy.
Well, I don't climb mountains anymore.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
Right. Yeah. Right. Well, it's different, and your needs change slightly. And I guess that's what we want to talk about, because you are more aware of how our needs change as we age, or you know, for younger people like us, we sit here and think, well, aging, that's a ways off. But
I don't think that, right?
Well, but you were how old when this happened?
I was 22 years old.
Right. So what 22-year-old sits there and thinks this is something that, you know, I mean, not everyone is as lucky as you, and not everyone can come back as well as you did. And then you suddenly have these changes that have to happen.
Right.
So I guess, what have you learned through this entire experience?
And how you've applied that to what you do at Amber Valley Construction.
Yeah, so our goal is to be able to help people live safe, independent, and functional in their homes. Mm-hmm. If someone's been in an accident, like you just said, now their physical needs are very different from how their house is set up.
Right.
So there is a need for remodelers to be able to come in and to modify those structures in a way that makes that house safe and functional for them to meet their physical needs.
So is that something that you guys go around doing, or are you trying to be proactive in the sense of getting people aware of this as they build new homes?
So that's one of the proactive part of it, is something that we are trying to do. Most of what we do is kind of on the back end of it, though, right now. So someone, for example, a project we did here just in the last year, there was a gentleman, he was elderly. He was no longer safe in his home. He could not take a bath because he didn't have the ability or the mobility to be able to get in out of a tub. So one of the things we were able to do is we were able to pull that tub out, put a low barrier shower pan in, and now he gets to stay at home with his family. He had two options before that: go into a nursing home or not take a shower, right? So now he gets to take a shower and he gets to stay at home with his wife. And so those are the kinds of things that we're able to do on modifying structures to be able to help that man and help others stay safe, independent, and functional in their homes.
So what are some of the biggest things that you look for? Like, you know, okay, let's say someone is suddenly in a wheelchair. They have an accident. They're in a wheelchair. I know this because my father-in-law at one point had this problem. Suddenly, he's in this wheelchair, and the house was tiny, and there were walls everywhere, and he couldn't get around. What types of, you know, barriers are there that you have to go through and modify? Are there certain areas of the home that it's more prevalent?
Yeah, so there's a few things that can be done right off the bat. So ramps into the house. Mm-hmm. That's a very simple one. The others are widening doorways. So a lot of older homes have 28, 26, or 24-inch doors. That is impassable with a wheelchair. And so the standard for a wheelchair-accessible doorway is 36 inches. So we can come in and we can widen that doorway. We can
create turning radiuses for wheelchairs to be able to navigate. Typically, we're looking for a circle that has 5 feet of area at any point in that circle to be able to turn and rotate that wheelchair around. So those are the kinds of things on the design side that we look at to be able to make sure that that's accessible and functional for people that have those needs.
Basically, the idea behind this is universal design. That's what it's called, right? Why don't you give our listeners just a little bit of an idea, if they haven't already put it all together, universal design. What exactly is that?
Yeah, universal design, dictionary definition, is the design of buildings, products, or environments to make them accessible to all people, regardless of age, disability, or other factors. So it doesn't really matter what your ability is. You may have no ability. You might be a quadriplegic. Mm-hmm. Our goal is to be able to make that safe, even functional for you and your long-term care needs.
So I've seen things like doorknobs, for example. You know, we've got all got the mm-hmm. standard doorknobs, mm-hmm. and then now there's lever knobs, which make it a little easier.
Yep.
And then there are doors that open automatically, which is yep. the next step towards...
So there's a lot of very simple things that can be done that to make things accessible for people. Because as we age, our needs change and our abilities decrease and change. Our goal with universal design is to be able to make small changes to existing structures that make that suitable long term. So even think about in your kitchen, mm-hmm. right? The standard is like a knob on a drawer.
Mm-hmm.
As we age, our dexterity and our ability to grip things decreases. So we're going to say instead of a knob, let's put a handle on there so you can stick your hand right down through that and pull that out without having to grip on it. Like you just mentioned with doorknobs,
yep.
you know, gripping that doorknob can become difficult.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all of us here in this room are still young, and that's hard for us to fathom. But there are people every day that have difficulty grasping and pulling on those things. So instead of a knob, we're going to go with a handle or a lever so it's we can use gravity a little bit more and push instead of try to grip.
Mm-hmm.
Another simple thing would be a toggle switch, right, for your light switch. Mm-hmm. Up and down is the standard one. They have the paddle switches where you can even hit that with the end of your cane if you needed to
okay.
to be able to turn that on, right? You could be sitting in your wheelchair from across the room and poke it and turn, be able to turn it on a lot easier.
But what's really cool about this is that it's universal in nature. It's meant for any scenario.
Correct.
It's not meant to be, because nobody wants that. What is that?
Like
institutionalized.
Yeah, we don't want to make your home look like you live in a nursing home.
And so that's the goal of this, is
correct.
To create good design that looks great, that's appealing visually, but still functional.
Good design is universal, and good design that is universal is hidden in the background so that the average person coming into it doesn't even necessarily know that this is a universal designed space. But for example, we're going to take your electrical outlets and we're going to move them up from 16 inches to 18 inches. So you don't have to bend over as far. Mm-hmm. We're going to take your switches. We're going to move them down from like a standard 42-inch height, and we're going to move them down to like 38 inches so that if you are in a seated position, you can reach that a lot easier.
So is that something that you come in and will help us assess the situation?
Sometimes, yes. Yeah. So sometimes we'll come out and we'll do a consultation. If there's an injury involved, oftentimes there's an occupational therapist that we work with that will come and do a home evaluation for them. They're licensed and trained specifically to help people with these kinds of needs. And specifically, we use them when there's been an injury or an accident or a very specific illness involved that brought them to the point where an occupational therapist is needed. They are licensed and trained in how to do a complete home evaluation based off of your needs. So that's one thing that we collaborate with and coordinate on that side. For the average homeowner who's just looking for additional adaptability in their home, yeah, we can come in and do those assessments for them and help them think through big picture. How can we modify the structure to set you up for success long term in your home? The reason being, none of us are chomping at the bit to go into assisted living or in a nursing home. We want to maintain our independence. We want to stay safe and functional in our own homes. And that's what universal design can do. Not all of these things are expensive. Some of them cost more than others. But we can come in and we can make a few simple changes that allow you to maintain that independence and functionality in your own home with your own family.
All right, Derek, we are coming to about the end of this segment, and I have a few more questions I would like to ask. So we're going to do a home improvement show first, And we're going to ask you to stick around for a third segment. Do you think you can stick with us over the break?
Definitely.
All right, we'll be back in the studio with Derek Anderson after these messages. Stay tuned.
If you want to take your DIY skills up a rung, the Repco Light Home Improvement Show is here to give you a boost on News Radio Wood 1300 and 106.9 FM.
And we're back.
We are.
I'm back. Betsy's back.
Derek is back.
And our guest is back for a third segment, which we've never done before, which is fun.
It is fun.
That's not a slam on all the other guests.
I'm glad he agreed to stay for a third segment.
No, there's just so much here. And as we keep digging into it, we're talking about universal design, basically about, in this instance, when we remodel our homes or getting our homes prepared for situations that we may not expect that are going to come as we age, to make sure that we can stay in our homes and live comfortably. Nobody wants to go to a nursing home when those things happen.
Well, or if you have an accident in your family and all of a sudden there's an urgent need to modify your home so you can bring someone back home from the hospital.
You don't realize all the things that are complications,
right,
from opening doors to, you name it, drawer pulls even, you talked about. Just the knobs on drawers and kitchens can be something that's tough to work with in certain situations with certain disabilities. So, Derek, in the last little bit that we've got here, I'm wondering, why don't you just take us through some of the rooms in the house and just practically, let's all wrap our brains around what kind of things we can do to make our homes more universally designed, I guess, let's say.
Definitely. So, big picture, real quick, we're looking for safety, independence, and functionality in your home. So, first, safety. The most dangerous room in the house is the bathroom. Slips and falls because of water. We're around, you know, as a builder, right? I have to take into consideration tempered glass anywhere where it's within certain number of feet of a water source, those kinds of things. But for people that have limited abilities and mobilities and dexterity concerns, the bathroom is a huge pressure point for us to be able to make that area safe, independently accessible for them, and functional. So when we think about the bathroom specifically, so grab bars are a big thing that we do. A common grab bar size is 24 inches. Problem with that is that studs are 16 inches on center. So if we're going to do a bathroom remodel, we're going to say, hey, you know what? You might need a grab bar right here, right now, but in 6 months, a year, 2 years, 5 years, you might need additional grab bars or grab bars in different locations because your needs have changed during that time. So if we have the opportunity to help someone with a bathroom remodel that has some of these needs, we're going to say, let's put plywood on the walls all over the bathroom. That way, we don't have to worry about this long term. We're going to have something solid to be able to anchor that grab bar into. So being able to do that, we have anchors that we can anchor grab bars into drywall, but at the end of the day, do you want to be pulling on that?
No.
No.
So installing plywood throughout the bathroom is a great way to be able to just make that room adapt with you as your needs change. Other places in the bathrooms, the tub, right? So if you have a tub, like a soaking tub or a jacuzzi tub, something like that, transferring in and out of that on a narrow ledge can be quite dangerous when your abilities and dexterity decreases. So instead of like a 4-inch ledge right around the perimeter of that, let's make that 12 inches, 18 inches wide, just a little bit more tile, takes up a little bit more room. But now I can sit down on that safely and then move my legs in and out while I'm seated in that position so that I can transfer in and out of that bathtub safely. So little things like that, giving you a little bit more perimeter around the bathtub, really goes a long way. Continuing in the bathroom, a curbless shower. Right now, stepping over to get into a tub, I can do that. Even with my injuries, that's not an issue for me. But long term, is that going to be the same? Absolutely not. So low barrier or curbless showers, even if I'm in a wheelchair, I can move right into that.
So how does that work with the water? It just slopes?
Yeah. So if we're making a wet room or the entire bathroom into a area where water can be on the floor in the entire space, there are different manufacturers that make different bases for tile to be able to go on that slope the water to drains that get all that water out that you can just literally just roll right into the bathroom.
And
even if you're able to walk in, now we don't have a step that we have to get over top of. That's very difficult for some people.
Well, you actually see that a lot in design. Like if you look through magazines, you see a lot of showers that are like that without even a step over. My mom wants one of those. Yeah. That's why I know.
So that's the bathroom. What other rooms in the last little bit that we've got here? What are some of the things in some of the more important rooms that we'd want to focus on?
After bathrooms, kitchens, where we spend a lot of our time doing our food prep and entertaining and those kinds of things. So being able to bring things down to you as we age and our abilities decrease, climbing up on that stool to reach something on the top shelf of a cabinet becomes much less appealing and attractive to do.
Uh-huh. Everything I get from any shelf
has it to have
requires
a stool.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of making you get on that stool to climb up there, what if we could bring the contents down to you?
Like a butler? Wouldn't that be awesome?
Pretty much. So we can install an insert into a cabinet or that will you can pull it out and everything comes to you. Same thing on your lower cabinets. Instead of reaching
it will
down,
bring it up.
It will bring it up.
So it's like a tray that kind of moves.
Exactly.
Oh.
So it's like that Spicer Eck I was talking about that I wanted that pulls down towards
me. Oh, a few
me.
Episodes ago. Yes.
Yeah.
A little spice rack that flips down. It's similar in that regard, but it will the whole
exactly.
mechanism will come
so
down.
So in order for a structure to be considered universal design, you have to be able to bring 50% of the contents to you. And that's part of that. If we can bring the stuff to you instead of you having to reach up or climb up to go get it, you're a lot more safe mm-hmm. in your home being able to do that. And even things like your oven, right? If picture yourself sitting in a wheelchair having to open an oven with a 25-pound turkey, how are you going to reach across that hot oven door and then be able to pull that out? You don't even have to be in a wheelchair.
What
you
is could the just, solution?
You can do a side door oven that opens from the side.
Oh.
That doesn't look like you're living in an institution or you're living in a nursing home, but just changing the direction that your door opens on your oven can go a long way for safety. So,
what about doors between rooms, like pulling a door open in a wheelchair? I can imagine that's complicated.
So back when I was in a wheelchair, the room that I was in opened from the inside. They were French doors, so that helped a little bit, mm-hmm. but... Like, have you ever been in a wheelchair and tried to open an inswing door? It is a pain in the butt. So first you have to open the door a little bit, but now the door hits your wheelchair. Yeah.
Right.
So you have to back up a little bit, but you can't back up too far because now you can't reach the door handle anymore. So you kind of have to have this like 7-step turn process in order to do that. So instead of having swinging doors, we can install pocket doors so that you don't have to worry about that swing, and you upgrade a little bit to a ball-bearing pocket door so you know that the mechanism is going to last and that it's going to be there for a long time and you're not going to have squeak, squeak, squeak type issues. Those are the kinds of things that don't make it look like you live in an institution but make mm-hmm. your home very safe, functional, and allow you to maintain your independence longer.
It just seems like if you're doing any remodeling, this is something definitely to think about. I know we've only got seconds left, mm-hmm. but we had a friend of the show who's been on. We interviewed her. She built a house in her 70s, right? Her
yes.
and her husband
yep.
were in their 70s, and they built all of that with this in mind. They were very smart because mm-hmm. they wanted to stay in the
yes.
house. They didn't
right.
want to be moved out. So the shower is yep. such that they can.
Mm-hmm.
All of that was built into the plans.
She calls it the car wash.
Yeah, because it's so big. But they wanted it so they could get a wheelchair in
yep.
there if necessary.
Yes.
So I would think any work that I think about doing, this has changed how I would look at anything I do around the house.
You don't have to be old
right.
to think
right.
about this.
Mm-hmm.
You can be right where you are right now. And if you love where you live and you want to maintain your independence, there are very simple, practical things that you can do while you're remodeling to remodel with the future in mind that are going to set you up for success, safety, and independence in your home for a long time.
Excellent. Derek, if our listeners want to get in touch with you at Amber Valley Construction about some of this stuff, if they've got questions or they just want to get you out to the house and maybe help them through a project, how do they best get in touch with you?
So there are a couple of different ways to do that. Our website is, there's a just request a consultation right there from the homepage, and we'd be more than happy to have a conversation with you and see how we might be able to help you with some of this. So AmberValleyConstruction.com is our website. And then you can email me, Derek, D-E-R-E-K, at AmberValleyConstruction.com.
All right. Derek Anderson from Amber Valley Construction, owner, fall survivor. Thanks so much for being here today.
Thanks for having me.
And that's going to do it, Betsy. It's time to get out and take a look at our roofs before
yeah,
trouble
throw some
sets
salt
in.
Up there.
Right. Well, in pantyhose.
Yeah, in
nylons.
Pantyhose. Nylons.
Do you call them
It's about the same thing.
Is it?
Yeah.
It just feels like a weird word to say.
Well, it is.
Am I allowed to say it?
Yes.
Is
it makes
something
me
that went out with the 70s?
Yes. Depends on how old you are, what term you use.
Well, anyway.
Anyway.
Those stretchy stockings
that women wear.
Somewhat sheer that women wear. wear and actors, those would be leotards.
That's a right.
I'm going to pack all the snot that I've got into the unitard that I wear, throw that on the roof. That'll melt some snow, burn out some eyeballs, too. Anyway, I'm Dan Hansen.
And I'm Betsy Thompson.
Thanks for listening.
Oh, do you even know what a unitard looks like?
No. Is it bad?